What a great privilege is this that you could come to his presence to study from the word, also to pray for various matters. And as the song reminded, his faithfulness is new every morning. And even though we are unfaithful, he's faithful. What a great encouragement to know that he's a faithful God and never leaves us or forsakes us. And today I've been asked to to take from the parable of the landowner or the tenants, and that is from Matthew chapter 21, reading from 33. Matthew chapter 21, reading from 33. Here, another parable. This is Jesus telling to the religious leaders. He says one more parable. Here, another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to wine dressers and went into a far country. Now when the vintage time drew near, he sent a servant to the wine dressers, and they might receive its fruit. And the wine dressers took the servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent a son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But the wine dressers saw the son. They said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those wine dressers? They said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease its vineyard to other wine dressers, who will render to him the fruits in their season." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scripture? The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is what the Lord doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Now, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hand on him, they feared the multitudes, because they took him for a prophet. So if you look at the parable, you know, I was kind of going through, and I was just asking what made Jesus to tell this parable. But if you look at Matthew chapter 23, it says that Matthew chapter 21 verse 23 says, "Now when he came into the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people confronted him. He was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing things? And who gave you this authority?'" So the chief, the priest, and the religious leaders were questioning his authority. "Under what authority are you doing this?" So that prompted. Not only that, if you read verse 23. It says, Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and the harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and the harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." The second thing is the chief priests and the religious did not believe him. That prompted, as I was just reading, because I was thinking this love for his people, right? He was just kind of telling, he told the first parable of the two sons, and then he goes to the second parable and just tell them that he wanted to show them how much he loves them. Even though they hated him, you know, they wanted to kill him. You know, when Jesus came to this world, it's the Bible clearly says that his own rejected him. He did not have a place to live. You know, it says that foxes has the hole, the birds have the nest, but the Son of Man who created the heaven and the earth did not have a place to rest. And you could see his love for his people. And then, you know, that is the reason he tells this parable. He doesn't want none to be perished. You know, the tax collectors and the harlots, they believed, but they still did not want to believe that Lord as the Messiah or their Savior. And before I go here, you know, like, you know, I just want to go through. There are six characters mentioned in this Bible. The landowner represents God. And if you look at the wine dressers or some translation, it says as a tenants. It represents the religious leaders or the chief priests, what we saw just a few verses above. And the servants talks about, represents the Old Testament prophets. And the son is the Lord Jesus Christ, talks about Jesus. And the other nation or the other wine presses talks about the church or the Gentiles. And so there are six characters that Jesus mentions over here. So the first thing Jesus says, there was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to the wine dressers. So when I read this portion, right, it is God created the heaven and earth. He did everything for the nation of Israel, right? He built that nation because they were in slavery under the Pharaoh. God rescued from them, and then they gave this nation Israel to them. Instead of bearing fruit, right, they rejected their own Messiah. So what he did is, and how he said, he did everything. The landowner did everything for the wine dresser or the tenants. You know, they don't have to do anything. It said that, you know, he built a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower as well. He did everything what the nation of Israel wanted, all what he was asking the religious leaders to believe him, you know, to obey his commandments and to bear fruits. So, and then we just go on, we see that. And he leased to the wine dressers and went to a far country. The landlord went to a far country. Now, when the vintage time drew near, when the harvest time drew near, he sent his servants to the wine dressers that they might receive its fruit. So the God here, he's saying that, you know, he sent the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, to them. You know, you'd see throughout the Bible, you see that how different prophets at different time spoke to the nation of Israel. But here you see that all the time, every time when they heard the word, but you could see that how they rejected the word of God or the rejected the Messiah. They did not want to believe that Jesus Christ is their true Savior or the Messiah. They did not want to believe that. So and also you could see that, you know, so he sends three servants. Then they beat one, killed one, and stoned the other. And you could see, and the different prophets like, you know, Zechariah, you know, even John the Baptist, and then many were killed and tortured. And then if you look at Matthew kind of explains that in Matthew chapter 23, starting from verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophet and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in these days of our father, we would have not been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are the witness against yourself that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measures of your father's guilt, serpents, broods of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogue and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous bloodshed on the earth from the bread of, and it keeps on, it clearly says how God sent his servants, you know, throughout, as I said, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. The last, the person who was beheaded was John the Baptist. In spite of all these things, right? You know, and here it shows that I was kind of reminded, you know, of God's patience, that how God, you know, was very patient with the people of Israel and the religious leaders, that he wanted them to be saved. He wanted none to be perished. But in spite of what they do is they kill them. They kill the servants. And then it says that, it says, and then last of all, he sent his son to them. And I was very interested to see that when you read a Gospel of Mark and Luke, it says that he sent his beloved son. You know, God, you know, the landowner sends his beloved son, thinking that at least, you know, when he sends his son, that they would respect him, they would treat him fairly. And but then we could see that, but when the wine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. They decided, as soon as they saw, they did recognize this is the landlord's son. In spite of knowing that this is a son, they wanted his inheritance, but they do not want to accept the son. What a pity condition is that. When I was thinking about that, you know, 2,000 plus years ago, God the Father sent only begotten Son to this world. And you could see his suffering, right? And then in John chapter 3, just want to read that. From 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was God's desire, that each of one should have that everlasting life. And it's verse 17, for God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So, and it says, 18 says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it clearly says that who does not believe him as the personal savior is already condemned. So I was just thinking about myself. Right. And or in an as like, you know, we've been, some of the brothers have been going out of his tracts distribution, and we have distributed thousands and thousands of tracts. And sometimes when we approach some of them, right, they don't want to hear about this Jesus Christ, or they don't want to believe him as his personal savior. You know, they don't want to put the faith in the Creator God, one who created them. Right? We could see that, how they reject the gospel. So this is what the tenants did, or the wine dressers did. In spite of accepting his son, what they did is they killed them. And therefore, verse 40 is, therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those wine dressers? This is some of the question, and Jesus is asking the question to the chief. What do you would do? Look at their answer. They said to them, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to another wine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season. So they are saying, is like, you know, and they just gave the answer. So even then, right, God is asking them, but even then they are saying that, you know, they don't want to accept him, or, you know, obey his commandments, or to believe him. And this, instead of saying that, they are saying that, you know, that just take that and just lease it to somebody else. So then Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You could see the stone, talks about the Jesus Christ. They did reject Jesus Christ, but, you know, Jesus, God the Father, raised him on the third day, and then he has become the chief cornerstone. He is our chief cornerstone, right? So he's saying, and you guys did reject Jesus Christ, but he has become the chief cornerstone. What a great privilege is to knowing that he is our chief cornerstone, that he is. And then in 43, he says, therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And he says that, you know, that the kingdom of God will be taken from them and will be given to the nation that bearing the fruits of that. And I was just kind of thinking, maybe it's that, you know, in Romans chapter 11, you can see the how Paul describes how, you know, we were wild olives and how we were grafted into the kingdom of God as Gentiles, right? So we are given that privilege today. What a great privilege that you know, and that humbles my heart every time when I come in the presence of God. How greatly privileged are we that, you know, Gentiles like us, who did not have any kind of relationship with him, or we did not have any hope, or we did not have any privilege with him, that he has given that privilege through his son, Lord Jesus Christ, right? That thought always kind of encourages my heart, that how could a wretched sinner like me, that God could, that God could save me, right? You know, that should encourage us, that our heart this evening, that, you know, that he has given that privilege, and then he has asked us to bear fruit, you know. And then that reminded me, like, you know, I've been a Christian for some time. What kind of fruit am I bearing in my life, or in my Christian, in my walk with Christ? You know, he has asked us to bear fruit, right? You know, we see the fruit of the Spirit, right? You know, am I bearing the fruit of love? You know, that is something God has asked us to do. You know, love your enemies. Are we loving our enemies today? You know, do we have a heart for seeking to go out and seek for the lost people? You know, that is a love, that agape love, right? Do we have that, really? Do we have the patience? So there are a lot of the fruit of the Spirit that I just want to read that. So that is something he's expecting from us as Christians. Are we bearing fruit? That is something that tonight I just want to leave you, that, you know, one thing is that we are a greatly privileged people. We have that hope that we are accepted into his kingdom as Gentiles. As I said, we are accepted into his kingdom. But the other thing that we need to, as believers, that we need to be mindful and to be, is that, you know, do we really bear fruit for our Lord Jesus Christ or for the kingdom of God? That is a thought I just want to leave you tonight. You know, are we bearing fruit for him? And the day is going to come, you know, and I think so. I was kind of, you know, thinking about, I'm going to stand in the judgment seat, and then he's going to, you know, that is some of the thing. Robin, what have you done? You know, yeah, I send my only begotten son to this world, and I have redeemed you, and you are the part of the kingdom, and we have a lot of work to do in this world. And he's going to ask me then, what fruit have gotten for him? You know, so that is a big question mark. And that this passage has really encouraged me, you know, for my feeble words, it has really, you know, encouraged me that one question that prompted my heart is, do I really bear fruit? Or is this something every Sunday I come and I just want to be, you know, show my attendance in the church that, okay, I'm here, you know, or show others, or show the elders that I come for Sunday meeting, or, you know, I'm here, but God is one is the looking at the heart. And that encourages, God knows my heart and God knows each one of our heart. And there is a day is going to come, he's going to judge accordingly. So may this words, I hope these words may have encouraged you. This has really encouraged me. May his name be glorified.